Okay, well, like I said, folks, it's Friday. Again, you know what Friday is. I'm glad that you are here. It's time for another message, another one that's put on my heart. And lately in the past, since I've been on vacation and been back, I've been thinking of a lot of others. I got about four or five others that's kind of, what would be a better word? It's kind of like chopped up, and they're kind of in pieces, but I'm working on them. So, you know, they're going to come together as they always do. It's just I never try to force it. You know, most times I try to, but most times now I've been sitting back and said, no, I'm just going to let it come naturally, and then however the Holy Spirit leads, he leads. You know, and this one he led me to for whether this be for me or whether it be for my wife who listens to this or whether it be for you, you know, we'll find out. You know, hopefully if this speaks to your heart, I'll be glad that you get something out of it because, again, my goal is, you know, it's not trying to impress you, but my goal is hopefully this may encourage you or may help you in any area of your lives that you may be dealing with or any encounters that you may be dealing with. So I thought about this when I started this off, and it's always an introduction, you know, and I asked myself, and I'm asking you tonight, what does it really mean to really live for Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not sure if anybody's ever asked you that, but then the question again is, what does it really mean to live for Jesus Christ? Now, you can type your answers in if you want to. You know, if we're always sitting here in this room, I will let you respond. But to me, Jesus said, this was the very reason that he came to earth. And this is what he said, that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. That's what it means to live for Jesus Christ, to have an abundant life, not within ourselves, not within items, things, pleasure, whatever. Not in materialistic stuff, but to have an abundant life through him. That's what it means. And I was discussing this with my men's group this past Wednesday night. And you know, a lot of times I use me as an example and some of my messages and my teachings. And y'all have heard me use myself also as an example because I truly believe in being honest with myself, and many ministers, yes, have told me, no, Jim, you can't say things like that. You can't talk like that. You can't really let them know that you're struggling, that you're having a hard time, that you're doing it, because, again, you know, you can't be doing that because they're looking to you for guidance. They're looking to you for leadership, and if they see you weak or having problems or having issues, whatever, then, you know, it'd be kind of hard to help them. I said, I don't agree with that. I really don't. I don't know why many of them I talk to tell me this. You know, they try to teach me things, but I prefer to be honest with people. Yes, I've been called to preach. Yes, God is using me. Yes, I am following Jesus. But I want you to know that what I'm dealing with or I'm preaching to you or teaching to you, it's real. I dealt with it or gone through it or have went through it or whatever it may be, you know, and I think to me, it helps me to talk to you, you know, and it helps me to let other people know, hey, we're all human. Okay. Yeah, we shouldn't be dealing with a lot of stuff because we do have greater power within us because greater is he who is in us is greater than he who is of this world. But, you know, that's why I think these things like that. That's why I was thinking, what does it really mean? And yet, you know, truly, to live for Jesus Christ, we need to have an abundant life through Jesus Christ and not of ourselves. And basically, when Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, basically, he came so we, you and I, can be truly alive to God. And that he would be our passion and joy. Again, that's what he's doing for us, folks. He's letting us know that we can be truly alive with gladness, with joy, and that he would be our passion and joy. And Paul himself have found this life. He constantly proclaimed it. And even if you do a good study, and if you're a good student of Romans, you know, Paul relates to the struggles, but Paul's also illustrated throughout Romans and throughout a lot of his New Testament teachings, how to really live for Christ. And yet, you know, you're going to have struggles, but he gives you the answers you need how to live for Christ. But I think, to me, you know, I like Brother Paul. He's real. But yet he shows us the power is in Jesus Christ. And that's why he always constantly proclaims it. Look, folks, let's take a look at it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's look at this passage. And that's why, you know, when I look a lot of, and sometimes I get a little bit scripture heavy in my messages. Sometimes I try to cut them down, but I just can't help them. I'm sitting there, oh, man, this passage is really hitting the point. Oh, yeah, well, man, I like to use this one too. Yeah, that's it. Oh, man, I can't get rid of this. You know, okay. Please forgive me for sometimes for being too many scriptures in my messages. I try not to, but I just can't help it, folks. That's not me. I believe that's the Holy Spirit saying, no, Jim, I need you to use this for a reason. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, look what it says. When he said that I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's wonderful right there, friends. And Paul, when he wrote that, Paul saw himself as no longer being alive. He left his past life behind, and now Christ was his life, and Christ alone. That should be us. We should have left our past life behind. Christ should be you and I always. It should be our life in Christ always. It should be just in Christ alone. Always. And if you notice that Paul, his life began when he was blinded on his way to Damascus. And since then, he became a follower of Christ. Well, to us, in a way, I relate to that a little bit, friends, because see, each one of you here tonight, and anyone else who's listening to this message, and we do have, thank God for that, people are listening to the message that's being posted on my site. But in a sense, each you and me and anyone else who's listening to this, before we came to Christ, we were blinded. We couldn't see. We were dead. But Christ opened our eyes. So again, I got to keep backing up a little bit. Is Christ in your life today? Is he your daily passion? What is your life? What is it that you are really living for? Is it success, wealth, comfort, family? If so, if that's what you are living for, you will not be able to say, to die is gain. You see, to die would be, really, be the loss of all that you are really living for. Let me repeat that. To die would really be the loss of all you are truly living for. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, or your electronic Bibles, or your iPads, or your online Bible, whichever. It doesn't matter as long as you have the Word of God to read, and it is posted here. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Luke chapter 9, 23 to 36. And I'm sorry, I don't even have mine open. Oh, Jimmy, that's a boo-boo there. So give me a quick second. I'm going to open it real quick. I got so many pages in this Bible. They keep falling out. Luke chapter 9. Let's see. There we go. So much in a hurry, I forgot to really open my Bible. Because sometimes I have some notes already posted. But and again, chapter 9, verse 23 to 26, it reads this. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, thank you again for allowing us to gather here together to honor you, to praise you, to worship you. Father, we lift up your name to the highest, highest, and the highest. Father, it's not about us. It never is about us. We always must decrease in order for your Son Jesus to increase. Father, if we ever try to get so arrogant thinking that we're doing better and we're better than others and we're better than you sometimes, you know, please kind of bring us down a level a little bit. I know as a loving Father, you have to chastise us a few times. But our main goal is we should be living like Jesus every day. So I ask of you right now to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. I ask of you to touch and anoint those who are here tonight. I ask of you to put a protective hedge around them. I ask of you, Father, to watch over them and love them and let them know that you truly do love them. Father, whatever we may be dealing with is nothing. We just need to be in rest, knowing that you got all things covered. Father, we thank you for your gracious love. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for allowing us to be here today. And we want to give all thanks, honor, and glory and praises to you. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Grab me a quick sip. So this is why, again, I changed the title quite actually. I think it was about, Five times, something like that. You know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, when you listen to a lot of sermons online, basically they're almost saying all the same. And yes, we ministers do borrow from one another. It's called cutting and pasting, you know, and taking a little bit from there and a little bit from here and a little bit from there. We kind of do that. I do. I'm not ashamed to admit that not everything is of me, but everything is led by me of the Holy Spirit to use to present a message and piece it all together. And this is why I titled this message tonight, Living Daily for Christ. Very straightforward. And the reason why I titled this message this way, because see folks, look, the Lord calls us to carry our crosses and follow him. But notice, he calls us to do it daily. Daily activities becomes habits. Think about your normal work day. I don't know if you ever really sat down, take a pen and paper, you know, and really think about your work day from sun up to sundown, or from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. I challenge you to do that one time, then review that work day. You see, folks, that's why I want you to think about that normal day. See, here's a typical day. You wake, you shower, shave, and for the ladies, yes, you get ready and you put on your makeup. You brush, work, lunch, work, quitting time, home, change, supper, TV, ready for bed, and sleep. Then you repeat. But during that typical day and during all that time, the question you need to ask, or we need to ask, is God in that day? Is God really in that typical work day? If not, then we need to make putting God into our daily habit. We need to look at that schedule. We need to look at that guideline. And if God's not in it, or if you just throw him in a little bit and that's it and forget about it, I think we need to really kind of modify that a little bit. We need to make God in our daily schedule a daily habit. Every day. Every day. Every day. And sometimes, folks, I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I might give God his little bit in the morning, and that's about it, and I don't think about him no more. I go about doing my own little thing. I've been changing that lately. My wife has too, you know, because I told the men Wednesday, you know, we need to start prioritizing and start putting God daily in our habits, and that should be consistently. That should be ongoing. That should be all the time. That should be, folks. So in this message tonight, I'm going to cover several ways that we should be doing this consistently, the way we should be doing this daily. So the first thing we must do by following him, basically, is follow him daily. That's right. We should be following him daily. Now, I said, well, I'm going to follow you today, Lord. Tomorrow, I'm going to take a day off. I'm going to give you a little bit the following day, but not a whole day. Oh, I'm going to take vacation from you for a few days. Then I'll follow you again. We should be following Jesus daily. And what this means to us, that Christianity is practiced day by day by day by day. Sound like another language, doesn't it? Now, there is no interest in tomorrow, now, folks. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, there is no interest in tomorrow or yesterday. But today is the arena of actions for a Christian. Why is that? Well, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says this. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And also in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 11 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they not known my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Boy, that sounds serious, doesn't it? See, therefore, I don't know what's going on with my voice today, though. See, therefore, what I see out of all this, we are to live and follow him daily. Not tomorrow, as if tomorrow I will live. Tomorrow cannot be presumed, folks. It can't. Why is that? I'm not sure how fast someone is a typer, but see, folks, tomorrow cannot be presumed. Very simple. Let's look at why. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15 says this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. As it was just posted a little while ago, folks, your life is nothing more than a mere vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. We might not even make it through the rest of this message. We don't know. Even if we do make it to the message, and I'm not trying to scare nobody, might not even make it through the night. You live daily for Christ. Live today in fulfillment, in joy, in peace, in happiness. Live him to the fullest extent of the abundant life that he has given you. And again, as I said, folks, we're not to live for yesterday. Yesterday is already gone. As if the deeds or the experiences of the past can substitute for those of today. Whatever else the day might be, the work day, the rest day, the school day, or whatever day it was. It is always the day in which we live out our Christianity. This, my friends, is the rhythm of our lives for Christ. Day by day, one day at a time, we live it. Day by day, one day at a time. That's how we live it. The second thing we must do daily, we must renew our commitment to follow Jesus. Now, some will have a tendency to say, well, okay, that's just a one-time deal, Jim. I made a commitment to follow Christ, that's it. Some play a good little Christian. They act good for a while, but they do other things too. They act good, but they still keep messing up. They never really give that commitment a second thought. They don't. I'm not trying to criticize no Christian. I'm not. But my experiences have shown how they act. Have I been committing myself effectively each day to him? Not really. I should, but I don't. Why is that? Lately, I kind of not been taking it seriously. Some men brought up a question Wednesday night, and it was kind of haunting to me because I've been experiencing this. And I saw the look on some of the guys' face when they asked that question when I said what I was dealing with in the past. And folks, you know, I have probably told you, maybe I hadn't, much of my past ministry I lost because I was too stubborn to listen to God. God had to chastise me. He had to rebuke me. He had to correct me. And yet on top of it, he took the ministry away from me. And not only that, there's been, and to me, that is scary. But to me, he left me in a silent period. Loneliness. And I'm going to tell you something right now, friends. That's not fun. That's not fun saying, hey, wait a minute, yes, Lord, I am serving you. Yes, Lord, I am following you. But why is it so quiet? Why is that quietness so deafening? And it scares me. Have you taken your spirit away from me? And the question was brought up, can God take the spirit away from you? I kind of don't believe that, but I know because I go by Ephesians, I think it's chapter 1, verse 13, where you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. But I think what happens, God will tell the Spirit, go quiet. Leave that person alone. And it's scary. It's scary. And part of that because it was my stubbornness. And that was the lesson on Wednesday night, stubbornness. And I was so stubborn to fully commit my life to following Jesus Christ. What I was doing, I was playing the fence line. Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Well, Jesus, I want this too. Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to do this for you. But I'm going to control it this way. Yeah, Jesus, I want you. I don't see nothing happen. I'm going to take care of it. My problem was I was not committing my life to Christ 100%. And this is why I thought about this when I got to this part of the message. We must purposely put it into our minds that each day that we are consciously reaffirming our decision to come and follow him. You get that? And this is not only done in the past, but this is done every day. And it should be constant throughout the day. It should be like a checklist. Lord, my commitments to you. You should be looking at the list. Lord, my commitments to you. Lord, my commitment is to you. Oh, wait a minute. There's a show coming on at 6 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to lock you out on that time from 6 to 7. But after 7, we're going back to the commitment. No. No. That commitment should be 100% of you. Should be 100%. Look at what Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord. Whoa, and I looked at that and I thought, whoa, there got to be a typo here, man. Wait a minute. Well, let me review this. But see, you got to read it very slow and carefully. And if. Notice the word if. If is an action word, folks. It's an action word. Required on your part. So, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods, Lord ye gods, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the river, or the gods, Lord ye gods again, of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a daunting question, a haunting question, if you want to say it that way. So why is it so important to serve the Lord? Why is it so important to serve the Lord? Well, simply put, Israel offered her sacrifices daily. So each day, we must offer our sacrifice anew. A good example for this can be found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It's another one of my go-to verses. And this is what it says. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a tall order, isn't it? Why should you and I be following these instructions? I can give you one good, perfect reason. I can give you one good, perfect reason we should be following those instructions, folks. You ready for it? Are you ready for it? Here's the reason. Today is the day that the Lord may come. This should be the reason why. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Today may be the day that Jesus comes. And again, the Word of God says so, even in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, 42, look what it says. It says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We don't know, folks. We don't know. That's why your commitment should be every day throughout the day. Since each day is potentially the day of your judgment. Each day is the setting in which we show the Lord the reality of our repentance, because He may show up when you least expect it. When you least expect it. How do we know this? Again, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will be met with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it, will be burned up. Why should you be living daily for Christ? Why should you be firm in your commitment to Christ? In those passages I just read to you, especially this last one, especially in 2 Peter 3:10, folks, what this is a warning. This is a warning. I mean, I worked in a chemical plant, and when we used to see those red lights going off or whatever that section we was at in the plant, what that was doing to us and to the workers in that area, that was warning us there was a danger. Oh, you know, we know the little robot, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. See, they had warnings. They had a chance to do something. Even though we said yes to Christ, are we committed to Him 100%? You see, you know, we do have a warning according to Scriptures, but we don't know when it's going to happen. That's why you should be so adamant in your commitment to Christ. That's why you should be so firm in living for Him. Because He may just show up when you least expect it. Ain't that some deep food for thought? That don't rattle your chain a little bit, then I don't know. The third reason we must live for Him daily, and this is so important. The third reason we must live for Him daily, to avoid the traps in the day. Yes, that's right, folks. If I find it, I'll probably send you the link, but something a friend of mine on another site sent me, it's called Satan's, The Bait of Satan. I think some of you may have heard it, may not. If you're not, look it up. It's called The Bait of Satan. Read it. But I kind of take that to another level because, see, Satan is laying down these traps for us. And if we're not living daily for Christ and staying within the Word or staying within fellowship of the Spirit, if we're not letting Jesus Christ guide us, we can get caught in a lot of those traps. You see, notice in the Word, it tells us so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Here again, you want to know anything? Read your scriptures. Which says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I got to look at that. Wait a minute, what? You telling us today it's its own trouble? That's right. See, folks, basically, what this is saying to you and I, that each day brings evils, trials, and troubles. And because of this, we're a soldier facing battles each day. This is why we should be living for and having our minds focused on Christ each day. Because when you do so, Jesus shields us from these traps. You want some more good information? I'm going to give you the examples. Look what Psalms chapter 3, verse 3 says. Proof is in the Word, not me. Look what it says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Also, Psalms chapter 18, verse 2 says this. I like that one. Well, I like them all, basically. But Psalms chapter 18, verse 2 says this, folks. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, folks, those two scriptures right there shows us how to avoid the traps of the day. And again, in our daily living, we need to be ready so we don't slumber. That's right. We got to be ready so we don't slumber. Reason why I'm telling you this, again, here's scriptures. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 says this. And he's telling us, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You see where I'm going with this? See those traps? So in closing, you might be thinking, okay, I hear you, Jim. But where are you going with this message? Or you might be thinking, well, what are you trying to tell me? If you hadn't caught it yet, maybe you might well. Maybe you understand after I say it. But what I'm trying to tell you and where I'm going with this message is one simple fact. Christianity is a day-by-day life. It can only be lived in the here and now because it will be rewarded in the here and now and the then and there. Here and now, then and there. You and I need to live for Him and submit to Him and let Him guide us and show us how to live, because if we don't, folks, we're missing the whole point of what He did for us. This is the part of what it means to live for Christ. It means to not only be dependent upon God, but also be dependent upon His body. This is where much of Christ's help and resources come from. And there are many Christians who live what I call detached lives from Christ because they are not depending upon His body. They lack the wisdom that comes from Christ. They lack the strength that comes from Christ. They lack the comfort because they are independent instead of being dependent upon Him. What does your life shout when you go through trials? What does it shout? What do people see when you go through trials? What does it speak to everybody who watches you? Does it declare my way, my comfort, my dreams? Or does it speak Christ, the gospel, the glory of God? What does your life say when you go through trials? Does it say what I just said? Or does it say what I'm saying now? Remember, people are watching you. So every day we must aim to allow our bodies to be theaters through which Christ is glorified, whether through life or death, pains or hurts, trials or tribulations. And Lord, let this be true of us. So when we say, whenever we are dealing with something, whatever something's happening to us, because when we say, hey, I live for Jesus Christ, when we say that, what are we really telling ourselves? Or better yet, what are we telling others who sees us? Do they see the real deal? Do they? Or do they see something that's nothing more than a person just going through the motions, pretending to be something they are not? Which are you? Which are you? And folks, to truly live for Christ, we must trust and submit to God's plan. We must depend on the body of Christ. We must exalt Christ in everything. We must properly view eternity. We must focus on discipleship. We must learn, and sometimes this is a hard thing to do, we must learn to die daily to Him. That's right. We must learn to die daily. And when we do so, we learn and understand the secret to living a Christ-centered life. And that secret is, you ready to get your socks blown off? The secret to understanding and living a Christ-centered life is fear of the Lord, fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think, say, or do. And folks, nothing is hidden. Nothing. And those who live a Christ-centered lives has developed a tangible awareness of the presence of Jesus. They make decisions based upon the question, would this please the Lord? Or will this displease the Lord? See, whenever you are in that mode, this is how you and I, avoid Satan's traps and worldly entanglements, because they evaluate their choices. If Jesus was spending the day with me, if Jesus was spending the day with you, you need to say, would I do that? Would I watch that? Would I say that? Or will I act that? I guarantee if he was with you right now, if you saw him eyeball to eyeball, I guarantee you'd be having those thoughts running through your mind. But wait a minute, Jesus is already in you. And yet, sometimes you do things when you should be asking, would I do it? Sometimes you go watch things when you know you shouldn't be watching it. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes you say the things you shouldn't be saying. I'm guilty of that. You see where I'm going with this? Jesus is with you every day. But yet while we think, well, no, he's not with us. I can get away with this. Nothing's going to be hidden, as you just said. You're going to stand before him and give an account to everything that you have done. Everything. I ain't talking about your past sins. That's been forgiven. That's been washed by the blood of Christ. That's gone. That's like a dry eraser board. That's been cleaned. But the day that you said yes, that the day of your salvation from that point on, Auburn, you're going to give an account for every idle word or action that you have done. And that scares me. Honestly, I've done some things I'm not proud of as a minister. I was not pleasing to the Lord. I did not commit myself to him 100%. I preached a lot by dying to self daily. Yeah, I died a lot daily. But a lot of times I overlooked it. That can't be no more. That can't be. Chastisement hurts. Correctness hurts. Rebuke hurts. Solid period hurts. That can't be. You see, folks, every lifestyle decision is weighed on heaven's scales and evaluated for its eternal significance. Lesser love falls by the wayside because they steal time, resources, and energy away from the real passion of life. And that passion is pleasing Jesus. And however, living with the fear of the Lord, it requires a conscious, ongoing commitment to it. And even the most devoted will fail at times. No person has ever lived a perfect life except Jesus. Even those who deeply desire a Christ-centered life will stumble. They will fall. They will sin. And they will make fleshly decisions in moments of weakness. But a Christ-centered person cannot endure living in disharmony with God and will quickly confess his or her sin and be restored to the fellowship with him. We can't agonize that. I can't remember what scripture it is. I know about John and the Jordan, and Jesus said that it greatly distressed him of not being baptized. Now, you know, I never gave thought to that passage. I never did. Till it was brought up in church in Sunday school this past Sunday morning, that it greatly distressed Jesus to be baptized. If my Lord was distressed because it was something that he had to do, you and I here tonight should be deeply distressed to be living in disharmony by not confessing our sins and to be restored in fellowship with him and allow things just to be callously to go on in our lives. Ooh, I've been guilty of that so many times, and that has to stop. You see, folks, when we quickly confess, when we quickly say, oh, God, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Why did I do it? Why? And when we start living that way and start allowing our hearts to melt that way, this to me, my friends, is the process of living in continual harmony with God. Folks, what this is called sanctification. It's a lifelong process by which God makes us more like Jesus. When we first center our hearts on him, our lives quickly follow. Then we live for him daily. And when we strive to do so, we're wanting to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father and follow Jesus with everything that you and I are. And yes, my friends, dying daily definitely isn't easy. Let me repeat that. Dying daily definitely isn't easy. But it is worth it because Jesus promised us. He just didn't say these words just for the heck of it. Folks. Jesus promised us that whoever loses his life will find it and find it abundance. But remember this, most important, we cannot die daily in our own strength, friends. We can't do it on our own. There's no way, Jose. We must die daily through him. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to choose God's way through the fruit of the Spirit with each passing day. And by God's grace, we, you and I, mature and cultivate a life worth dying for. A life found in Christ alone. A life living for Jesus. And that's why I kind of told you a little bit about the dangers of quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not taken away from us, boy, but I'll tell you what, he will sure put a lid on it if you're not in harmony with him. And that's scary. You're pleading. You're begging. Oh, God. What's wrong with me? Why can't I hear you? Why can't I sense you? What have I done to cause offense to you? And that's been my prayers lately. Lord, what have I done to cause you so much offense? What have I done to be displeasing before your eyes? What have I done? Please restore that spirit in me. Please help me. Please give me the strength. I want that joy. I want that abundance. I want that contentment. But let's do it your way for a change. And let's strip ourselves. Help me learn to die to you daily. In the name of Jesus, I say to this, give us the courage, the wisdom, and the strength. Give us the direction. And help us humble ourselves before you. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I don't know much more what to say besides what was said here tonight. You know what my heart's already saying. You know what my mind's saying. But yet, no, we still need to verbally communicate that to you. We need to sit down and have those quiet times with you. We need to sit down and have those commitments to you. We really need to start thinking the seriousness of what your kingdom is all about. Oh, we're quick to point to people, oh, I follow you, Jesus. And yet I was reminded some scriptures of the other day again. Me and my wife were talking about this, and oh, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen when I do stand before you. And I don't want to hear those words, depart from me, for you cursed thing, I never knew you. Oh God, please don't let that happen. Please don't let it happen. I don't want to be standing there and say, Lord, Lord, did I not preach for you? Lord, Lord, did I not preach and teach for you? Lord, did I not evangelize for you? Lord, did I not talk to these people for you? And to hear those dreaded, awful words that your lips never honored me. Your heart never honored me. You don't even know who I am. Oh, please don't let that be. I'm not trying to pray before these folks and just try to sound something fancy. No. I'm not trying to plead to you like this in something fancy. You already know what my heart is. I don't want it to be silent no more. And I need your strength to do it right. To renew that commitment. To live daily for you. To submit to your authority and your will. And this is all I've been praying lately to you, God. You know it. So again, I don't know why this message went the way it went. It went longer than I expected it to be. But again, that's not me. That's you. And I'm okay with that. So I ask of you from here on out, help us resolve within our minds and our hearts, especially within you, the Holy Spirit. I know we don't pray to you sometimes. We're supposed to be praying to Jesus and God, but yet all y'all of the Trinity, of the Holy Spirit, forgive me for how I have grieved you and quenched you and prevented you from doing what you do best by teaching me and directing me and leading me and showing me and helping me. I ask that you let us be reunited into that. And give us that courage, that strength, and that wisdom we need and seek. And Jesus, let us be pleasing to you in your eyes. Help us do the right thing. And in Jesus' name, we all pray to you, Father. We all pray to you because your Son told us to. He said that anything asked of you in his name, that shall be done. So I'm asking just for me tonight, help me get it right. Help me forget about me. Help me learn to be more like you. I thank you, I love you, and I praise you and glorify you. All in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.